5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back in. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Glad you could be with us here today. We're live from the Allo Communications studios. Brian Howe will join me in about 10 minutes of BuffZone.com. Carl Durrell was not going to give me the quarterback decision yet between Brendan Lewis and JT Schrout. But one of our insiders, Mark Johnson, was on yesterday, and he kind of believes that it's going to be JT Schrout. He said it's based on nothing. It's not based on any deep conversations that I've had with Coach Durrell or anything, but that's just his gut feeling. That was his gut feeling last year, too, and then JT Schrout goes down. So not a lot of interest and excitement surrounding the Buffs. That's just, I mean, looking at the schedule, it's going to be tough. I think Tanner said they're not favored to win many games, maybe one or two. They won four last year. Do they win more than that? Do they win four like they did last year even? It's a tougher schedule.
Certainly is. And without, you know, obviously not having your quarterback decided up until game week and the way the program was last year, their offense really, really struggled. Their defense, you know, kept them in some games, but not enough to win those games. And it's hard to find something to get really excited about with this Buffs team.
It is. I mean, what is their staple? What's something you're looking at? I look at Wyoming and Titus Wen, like their running back. There's a guy. There's a guy you're excited about. Can't think of his name right now, but there's an inside linebacker that's supposed to be pretty good for Wyoming. And I think, okay, there's a couple of guys you're excited about. Loud out there today. Did you hear that? That was loud, man. I've never heard that loud of a motorcycle before.
Get through two walls and foam padding.
What are you doing, man? Calm that thing down. How loud do you think that was outside?
I don't know, because I can hear it. I'm three walls
deep.
Well,
I saw your face.
Building.
And I'm hearing it, and I'm like, he's hearing the motorcycle, because I'm hearing it, and then it's got to go through the bulletproof glass, which we know that thing is tough.
Six-inch glass here.
Yeah. And so that was loud. Are you a revver? Like, rev up? I don't have a vehicle that can do that. It would go like this.
I guess I do. The new car that I have it's a little more of that speed. But I get terrified of revving because I was driving my mom's car one time and I revved too much and I blew a spark plug. So well, let's keep it easy. If the engine gets too loud, I need to slow down.
You just drive these ones that like floor it past you and then you end up at the same light.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, no. It's like,
good job. We got to the red light at the same time.
And you
saved 2 seconds on your drive.
And I saved more gas. So I think that's how it works. Angel, shall we take a look and get to today in the National Football League? How about this one? This is for all the Brady negativity, all the Tom Brady hate that's out there. Well, he's going to play in Saturday's third and final preseason game.
What?
Against the Colts. Coach Todd Bowles, that's Coach and Todd mixed together, Cod Bowles, says it outright. Everyone who is healthy is going to play. There's a different philosophy for you. Was that maybe part of their little agreement? Hey, I'm going to skip out. I'm going to go to wherever. I'm going to do the Masked Singer or go to a beach somewhere. I'll play the final season preseason game for you.
Seems like a fair deal.
It will mark the first time Brady has played this preseason, of course. The first time he's lined up with his wide receiver, Julio Jones, in a game. And the first time he'll stand behind a remade interior offensive line. So,
I forgot Julio was on that team.
I did too, actually. That was like an under-the-radar kind of deal. Is that satisfy you? Does that make you happier about the whole Brady? I don't know if I really cared. I don't know.
It was a story. Story's over now.
Yeah, I don't know that I even cared, honestly. It was a story worth talking about, but did it bother me? No. This one bothers me, though. Got to talk about former CSU Ram Michael Gallup. Dallas Cowboys wide receiver Michael Gallup will open the season on the 53-man roster, according to Jerry Jones, which we knew, but they want to be careful here. So he tore his ACL back in January. They're very delicate with him right now, but they want him to be on that roster. But he's currently on the active playlist. He's on the PUP, basically. Until he can prove that he can play, he won't be able to. the active physically unable to perform list. The Cowboys move him to reserve pup at the final cuts next week. They could. He would be forced to miss the first four games. So they just want to be very careful. They don't want to do that because they'd rather him play. Michael Gallup has been a fun story to watch. Here's another fun story to watch, dude. You remember Shaquem Griffin? He made it through all the hurdles in life, man. He played football with his left hand? He announced his retirement from the NFL yesterday. He wrote, writing for the Players Tribune, said he's looking forward to helping others as part of the NFL Legends community. He had his left hand amputated at age 4 and proved all that. Who would have thought, man, a guy could go play at a high level in football with only one hand?
I remember watching him when he was back at UCF, and I saw him get a pick, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
How is this dude playing right now? And then you remember the draft night when he got picked, him and his brother, Shaquille, sharing that moment for them. So good. That's cool.
Yeah. But played, what, since 2018? So put together, you know, again, I always say this on the show, like, the average time a player plays in the NFL is like 4 to 6 years. It's just we're used to talking about all these superstars that play for so many years. But your average run-of-the-mill guy on a 53 roster, they're lucky if they can go 4 to 5 years, especially with one hand. So, cool story there. This is one we already talked about, but I'm hitting it again. Geno Smith will start officially in their preseason finale, but Drew Lock will play a lot. Does Pete Carroll play Geno for like the first possession and then it's Drew Lock time? And then it's time to lock it in for the rest of the season?
I mean, unless Geno trips on him on his foot and falls on the first snap, I could see maybe like a series just to see. But you want to get Drew Lock some time, obviously coming off the COVID week where he wasn't there.
Yeah.
Get him some more live reps and then he can just go out and perform. It's his job.
That's the thing, man. I'm just very curious about this because surely Seattle kind of looks at it the way I do, unlike the Broncos did. It's like, hey, if you got two guys that are this close, you might as well go with the more unknown because you know what you have in Geno Smith. He's been all over the place now in his career, and he's kind of an average forever will be kind of an average quarterback. So we'll find out pretty soon what this is going to happen. But are you going to watch tomorrow night? Are you intrigued by this?
Oh, yeah.
We've been building
hype. You got me on the Drew Lock train now.
Trying to get
Brian to shave his head.
We want Brian to shave his head because Brian said he'd shave his head if Drew Lock is a Pro Bowler. So we should all be rooting for Drew Lock to win the starting job on Friday night. That's going to be good. Like, I don't care about the Rockies right now. You know, there's going to be some fun games on Saturday, but Friday night belongs to Drew Lock.
Primetime TV.
Primetime TV, man. I'm pumped about it. All right, that's today in the National Football League. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day is who's going to finish last in the AFC West? Who's it going to be? And most people on our site, anyway, thewholeshow.com is where you can go vote, are saying the Broncos. So all this talk that I'm putting into about like, I wouldn't be shocked if it's the Chiefs. And I'm throwing the Raiders kind of around a little bit, but the Broncos are the ones getting it in the home state. Are we shocked by that? The belief factor is just not there in our own neck of the woods.
I don't know if it's necessarily the belief factor. I think it's more of there's a lot more unknowns on this team than the other three in the division. Obviously, the Chiefs have their questions. The Chargers have the offensive talent. We don't know how Khalil Mack's going to gel with their defense, but they should be pretty good. Davante Adams to the Raiders is a big step up. Their defense is pretty solid. The Broncos, you have a solid secondary, solid front line. Your linebackers are a little suspect. And then, can the offense click? And that's really just the biggest question.
That is. And, oh, look at this. Now it's the Raiders. Who will finish last in the AFC West? Again, go to thewholeshow.com to vote. The Raiders are now just jumped in front. And the Broncos are in second. Then it's Chargers. Then it's the Chiefs. 13% believe that the Chargers, only 13% believe that the Chargers are going to, or Chiefs, excuse me, the Chiefs are going to lose this division. So there's some belief, I'm convincing somebody out there that maybe the Chiefs could lose this thing. Yeah.
I don't know. This feels like this could change every single week.
Yeah, man. Big injury could change everything, too. Sure. Not that you hope for that or anything, obviously, but that stuff you have to be mindful of. 15 minutes after the hour, we're going to talk to Brian Howell of the Buff Zone coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. It's on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Get the latest news on the Rockies with Rockies Rundown, hosted by Jerry Schemmel and Tanner Schwint. Thursdays at 2 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1, 1310 KFK and 1310KFK.com.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
.119 Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Great time at the Front Range Huddle yesterday. Good seeing my guy Brian Howell of the Buff Zone there. And we were trying to work it out, but the way that thing goes, man, you set a schedule, you set a time to record people and talk to people, but it just, once it starts, it just gets crazy out there. Brian, my man, I'm glad we could reconnect with you today, though. How are you, my friend?
Well, it's a little less chaotic today, so I think it's probably working out. So I apologize for yesterday.
Hey, we're going to let it slide. It's okay. We got you now. That's the most important thing. All right. So excitement, certainly. That's what that thing was all about yesterday, is we're trying to build excitement around college football, not just with one specific program necessarily, but we're trying to build that up. But Brian, when you look at CU's schedule, I mean, that first few games, man, it's crazy. Obviously, we don't know the quarterback situation just yet, but we're trying to latch on to a few of those key points to get pumped about. I've been following your stuff at Buff Zone, thinking maybe the wide receiver core might be something significant to keep an eye on.
Yeah, for sure. And that, you know, that group, they lost so many names, you know, and that's the place in the transfer portal you look at and say, well, they lost Brennan Rice, they lost Demetrius Stanley, Avante Chenault is no longer here. Those guys are all playing at other schools. So,
You know what? We're having a hard time. Let's try to reconnect with Brian. But, Angel, you tell me. Very spotty there. The service is kind of rough. So maybe try to call it. When I say reconnect, it's like we got all these like sophisticated plug-ins and plug-outs and stuff. No, it's just hang it up and call him back. Let's see if that works. But Brian, talking about the wide receiver core a bit, first of you, listen, I can almost pick something significant out with every team I talk about. Denver, Russell Wilson. If you just get me one bullet point, Denver, Russell Wilson. CSU, Jay Norvell. Wyoming, Titus Wynn. Air Force, is it Brad Roberts? Yeah, I think so. Or that Smalley guy. Smalley, I think, is his last name, the left tackle. I can pick out something significant that I'm like, yeah, there's kind of an excitement factor to build around there. I'm not finding it as much for the Buffs. Not sure. Brian might be, I don't know, getting storms everywhere. Does that triangulate the cell phone towers and make things difficult for us? Yeah. Couldn't catch up with Brian there. So strike two, Angel. We tried yesterday. Couldn't get him, and then tried today. So it is what it is. I just, you tell me, like, TCU on ESPN. That's a Friday night game too. No, at Air Force. I think Air Force is going to do something. I think Air Force is going to do something, not just in the Mountain West Conference. I think this is going to be a very good football team this year. So I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing how you pull off any kind of crazy win over there. And I don't know if it's going to be crazy, but I think Air Force is favored to win. They're at Minnesota. UCLA. At Arizona. California. Cal, maybe. Boy. And again, this is the only thing that I think, and this is a scary thing. The only thing you got going for you if you're a Buffs fan is these guys are relatively unknown. Listen, I'm digging. I'm digging for you guys. I'm digging for Buffs fans. You don't really know. That's pretty much it. There's guys we can talk about, and Brian will highlight that and outline that better than anybody when it comes to Buffs coverage. but you just don't really know about this group. You know, he was Nate Landman. Jarek Broussard's gone. You know, there's some significant players that were supposed to have big years, and individually maybe they did, but they're gone, either through the transfer portal or just moving on to the NFL, moving on to the next level. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I don't know, man. You're the college guru on these schedules, too. What's Minnesota supposed to be like this year? I mean, are they
normally a kind of middle, closer to the top of the Big Ten, maybe? With they have PJ Fleck as their coach.
So do you see you winning?
And that's not on at Minnesota.
That's on the road too. They got some primetime games. Look at that. That September 2nd game against TCU is on ESPN, 8:00. The next week they're at Air Force. That'll be on CBS at 1:30. And then the following week at Minnesota, that'll be on ESPN2 at 1:30. So, I mean, if you're going to do it, this is the time to do it. Show people that you're not just going to be rolled over. And then your Pac-12 stuff the rest of the way. UCLA. I don't know.
I don't follow the Pac-12.
Is UCLA supposed to be decent?
Normally pretty decent.
I mean, USC, but UCLA? This year, I don't know. USC's picked to finish, I think, in the top 15. But I don't know if we're saying the same thing about UCLA. But still, I hope so, man. Because Carl Durrell, if he doesn't find a way this year, I don't think he's gone at the end of this year. But I do think that next year, that's the conversation we're having, is don't at least get into a bowl game or show some kind of positive growth here, then yeah, we're probably going to have to move on.
Certainly. I know they're not in the same conference, but they are rivals. And with the way that CSU is going, if Jay Norvell has a good first year, the pressure is going to be on CSU or CU to catch up.
There is kind of a pressure there. And I don't know if CU will admit that, but
it's a rivalry. You're not going to deny it. It's CU, CSU. They're always going to be put against each other.
I think the fan base especially. Because it's just like Josh Allen and Bradley Chubb. Like, that's not a direct rivalry between those two guys. But you know that Broncos fans look at Josh Allen and go, oh, man, they're totally winning that. We're getting destroyed with the Bradley Chubb thing. I guarantee you CSU fans are paying attention to what CU's doing. CU fans probably don't want to admit it, but they're paying attention. I would almost bet that they're paying attention to what's happening to the north of Boulder. First Advantage text line.
The slight north.
First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It's still a fun time, and there are, you know, that is, the unknowns are, this is the best time. This is that calm before the storm where you can sit down and go, okay, we might have a chance. Maybe we can do something this year. Maybe this is it. Maybe we start turning it around. Hasn't been that long. Carl Durrell's only been there. Is this just his third season? Because he started the COVID year, right? I believe so.
And they played, what, like 6 games?
Yeah, they didn't play very many. They were good. I mean, they didn't have the USCs of the world in their schedule because they played the lighter half of the Pac-12. Carl Durrell was so good that, you know, I think he was coach of the year. He was Pac-12 coach of the year. Again, how much do you want to look into that? I don't know, because it was such a shortened season. A lot of people don't really want to look into that. We don't want to say, you know, that it was anything other than what it was. But since then, it's been rough. I don't know. I'm just trying. Like I said, I can pick something out with all of these teams that I talk about. And I get it. I got a nugget for you, at least. I don't think Wyoming's going to be great. But I do think that, you know, they got a couple of guys that you can latch on to and say, okay, these are exciting players. That's what you have to do. When your team's not supposed to be any good, look at the Rams last year. They weren't supposed to be very good. They weren't very good. You had Trey McBride. You could at least follow that story and go, every game he just improves his draft stock. Maybe it's going to be good enough to get him to first round. It was good enough to get him to a second round. You latch onto that stuff. You don't know what this is like, Angel. You don't know what it's like to latch onto one player on Alabama because you got the team. You have all of the greatness and glory in front of you. In Colorado, a lot of times that's what we have to do. You have to just latch on to a significant character, a coach or a player, and just really get behind them because you're very skeptical about the team going forward.
I mean, I just remember the hype and love around Philip Lindsay when he was at CU. And
oh,
then
yeah.
Obviously going to Denver increased that, but I've never seen a fan base get around that kind of player and stay around that player.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You're kind of just hoping someone from CU can come out and be that guy.
I was really hopeful, too. Oh, I loved watching Philip Lindsay. And at CU, man, he was awesome. He was fantastic to watch. And then you see him in the NFL, and he had his 2 years of 1,000 yards.
Undrafted,
which was still kind of a shock to me, but I get it, the size and everything. But how can you not root for that guy? Fun player.
The hair.
Gotta love the hair, man. So much fun. All right, 30 minutes after the hour. Couldn't get Brian Howell on, but we'll survive somehow. We'll take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, everybody. This is Dalton Reiser with the Denver Broncos, left guard number 66. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. It's the whole show, presented in part by Cables Pub and Grill. If you have not been to Cables Pub and Grill in a while, or if you've never been, I'm telling you, you're missing out. They're just top-notch at what they do. Locally owned and operated since 1972. Their staff is wonderful. Endless beverage options. Fresh, handmade Italian dishes. You cannot go another week without trying Cables Pub and Grill. And so, what is it, Thursday, you've got smothered burritos going on, $10.99, and house margaritas for just $4. So, I mean, you can't beat it. Great daily specials going on all the time at Cables Pub and Grill. Tell them we sent you from the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Okay, so I don't know how significant this is in the quarterback battle. Yeah, kind of, right? Kind of breaking, kind of interesting. You heard it on the sports report. So it is going to be Brett Rypien that starts tomorrow or Saturday for the Broncos. And over Josh Johnson. Now, Nine News titled it like this. This was their first sentence on their story. Brett Rypien played his way into the number two quarterback competition. Now, does that mean it's Brett Rypien's job to lose now? Or is this just, we want to see how he does kind of to start a game rather than come in later? Because he's been pretty good at doing that. He was kind of the only positive. I thought he was a positive last week. Nathaniel Hackett said he's done a real good job. He had a really good game last week. I just think it's something he deserves. After practice yesterday, Rypien was asked about what that looked like if he starts. And he said, I'm excited about the prospect. This is what you dream of, opportunity to start in this league, whether it's a preseason or not. Obviously, opportunity comes when you keep working hard and you take care of the things you can control. And that's what I'm trying to do this week. When we know Josh Johnson started the first two preseason games, I felt like he was, not based on performance, but based on the indication from Nathaniel Hackett that he was the number two. But I felt like Brett Rypien was, if I had to put the two together, I would say Brett Rypien seems like he's played better. He's been better throughout the preseason. Josh Johnson's been everywhere. We'll see if he gets a shot somewhere else, unless Brett Rypien loses it. It's between those two guys. Oh, we got Brian on. Okay. I'll tell you what. We'll touch base. We'll touch base tomorrow. We'll see if we can get that tomorrow. But you know, when you look at Brett Rypien in the situation here, this is kind of it for him, right? This is kind of it for his Broncos tenure. If he doesn't make a good showing this weekend, you wonder what's going to happen. But I feel like he's won the competition, don't you? I mean, at this stage. That's why this weekend's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out.
Certainly, making a move like this, obviously, with Johnson starting the first two games, kind of thought, okay, he's the lead man. But now you switch it up going to the last preseason game. You're making your cuts on Tuesday. It sounds like it's Rippon's job. And I know he was in this. He's been with this team before. He has experience with maybe some of the lower depth guys. So maybe you want to get him out there to start with them, see how he does.
How comfortable, and I know you're not a big Broncos guy. You know, you're talking about a backup, whatever. I don't think anybody's comfortable necessarily with a backup quarterback. I mean, there's the Niners might be comfortable with their backup quarterback situation. But how comfortable are you, like, with Brett Rippon being, whether it's Josh Johnson or Brett Rippon? I don't know that's a comfortable thing, but I feel like Rippon just looks the part a little bit more so than Josh Johnson.
Or maybe like a C-minus type of backup. Obviously, in the NFL, you never know. Injuries can happen at any point. And if Russell, you know, has to go out for a series or two, you want a guy that can go in and be able to move the ball and command the offense effectively. And if Rippon can get this nod from the confidence in the coach, then you got to think that the team feels confident in him to do it.
Yeah. No, I think what we saw last week, and again, the spark that Rippon gave, and even the game before that where Rippon, I think, had a rough start, but the field position was terrible. And then he comes in, and he actually, the next couple of series, he's driving this team down. So I think he had a lot of looks that really good throws. Receivers just dropped the pass. So I don't necessarily think it's obvious, but sure feels like it's getting there. Now, if he does anything too crazy negative over the weekend, then yeah, he might re-lose this thing. But it kind of seems like it's in his hands.
Yeah, and that is something you like to see with your backups, whoever it is. If the team on the field responds positively to who is in the huddle, who's calling the plays, that's always a good thing for your backup because you want to have that trust with your teammates.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 39 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. That will be intriguing then, I think. It does give us a little more to watch for with this Broncos game to see. We don't want it to be a big deal. But it is a big deal. If Russell goes down, the season now hinges on all things Brett Rippon or Josh Johnson. And you can say, well, Russell hasn't had a history of this, whatever. He doesn't get hurt a lot. Well, he's getting older. He's crossed over the 30 threshold. So having a solid backup plan is more significant to teams when their quarterback's over their 30s. It is what it is. It's the age thing. Or if a guy has a history of injuries off and on. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. How about this one, Angel? Let's get into this story. Not really a story, but, you know, Bill Schmidt, the Chris Bryant thing, and all these different kind of moves he's putting together for the Rockies, the lack of a real, you know, push, didn't do anything at the trade deadline. I mean, has Calvin Booth already surpassed Bill Schmidt? And again, Bill Schmidt, this is his first year. We've only seen Calvin Booth be the VP or whatever, GM VP for the Nuggets for like, what, 2-3 months? Calvin Booth for the Nuggets has already passed up Bill Schmidt in my mind.
I think he did that when he got rid of Will Barton.
Yeah, he showed some, you know what, he was bold. He went out there and said, hey, I know this guy's we've been hemming and hawing about this guy. We love his loyalty. He says all the right things. But at the end of the day, we got to get better defensively, and we want to be just a little, have a different brand of basketball around Joker. And again, Tim Connelly was sensational, but Calvin Booth, I think this summer, has made some crazy good moves.
Certainly. I think he's helping Denver to get more of that national recognition, to get guys to say, hey, you can come play with a two-time MVP, and you can be successful here.
So, how long is Bill Schmidt going to last?
How long are the Rockies going to last?
I don't know. I don't know. And they're the only team that didn't make any moves, and not only did they not make any moves, they tried to make it seem like, well, hey, we're the only team that offered a contract extension, which wasn't true. There were other teams that did that. And, you know, you do look at a situation with this and say, hey, when do you look at somebody outside of this organization? And listen, Bill Schmidt's going to be that guy. for a while anyway. He's going to get a real chance because that's the Dick Monfort style here. But so far, not so good for what he's done. And then again, I'm just, why is it everybody else can figure this out? Well, Brady, there's no salary cap in Major League Baseball. That hurts. All these teams have their issues. All these guys have their reasons as to why they can't succeed. I mean, the Nuggets have been a laughing stock they for a while. In the 90s, they were, like, terrible. Not like Rocky's terrible. They were terrible, dude. And, you know, they made the best of their situation by drafting Carmelo Anthony and got out of that. And then found a way to become kind of a almost a perennial playoff team. So you look at Masai Ujiri, Tim Conley, now Calvin Booth, just the last three. Go back to Kiki Vandeweghe if you want. Found ways to put together positive stuff. Look at the Broncos now. John Elway, say what you will about his last 5 or 6 years, did manage his way into winning a Super Bowl for the Broncos. They have a Super Bowl. And if that's what it's all about, at the end of the day, you can go back and say, well, he got two as a player and he got one. He got them up to the point where they won a Super Bowl. No matter what he did in his tenure, John Elway was the man in charge when they went and won Super Bowl 50. And Joe Sakic. They just continued to grow and build and build. Even Jared Bednar was an unknown. He made him a known. And then getting in the playoffs, and then getting over that hump and getting a Stanley Cup. Now, you want to see the Nuggets certainly take the next step with management and everything and finding a way to put a championship-caliber team on the floor. But the Rockies, like, when do we get to that point, man, where it's like there's no excuse? It's like, why can't you figure it out? But the other three pro teams that we talk about heavily here on the show are fielding these playoff teams off and on.
Yeah, and you can see with those three teams the general direction of where they're going, whether they're coming off of a title or they're working towards getting to their title or they're working to get back to the playoffs. You can see the through line of, you know, hey, we're working towards something. We're working towards being successful.
Yeah.
With the Rockies, they're running in circles. Or diamonds, I guess.
Yeah, sometimes they don't.
Sometimes they don't make it to third.
Sometimes they don't make it to third. Yeah, it goes back to ownership. And it sucks because it would really be cool if Greeley could be that place that's known for, okay, that's where Dick Monfort is, and he does a lot in that community, and he's a big-time name, and he owns the Rockies, too, so he's got that Denver to Greeley to Northern Colorado connection. That's sweet. But that it is what it is. You know, the Broncos, at least Pat Bowlen, put a trust together that ended up making sure John Elway was kind of the guy and giving him the tools he needed to build and get Peyton Manning here and do some fun things to help the organization stay profitable and entertaining. And again, took a hit the last 6 years for sure. I get that. But collectively, the Broncos organization has been very good. The Cronkies, could talk about the Cronkies all day. But they have constantly put together general managers and good coaches. I mean, Michael Malone is a good coach. George Karl, a great coach. He should be like a basketball Hall of Famer if he's not. I don't know. Basketball's weird because it's not just an NBA Hall of Fame. But he's the sixth winningest coach of all time. So it's still like a significant thing. They brought in these big names. With the Rockies, the big names that you grow, you move on from. Whether it's a Nolan Arenado, Jeff Breidich spat, or it's Troy Tulowitzki not working well within the clubhouse, we're going to move on. Or it's Jeff Breidich saying he's a general manager of baseball or basically brain surgeons. There's just never the right guys in place that you really believe in. And again, those 5 or 6 players in Rockies history that you've grown and loved, not many of them stuck around or were a part of consistent success. you could probably say that Nolan Arenado's run with the Rockies was World Series. I get that. World Series aside, but if you just want to go like their 2 year span of success, that was the most successful they've ever been. They went to the playoffs back to back. They've been to the playoffs 5 times since they began. So I just don't know, man. And you see games like last night, and you go, it's not just bad. It's really bad. It's ugly, man. 48 minutes after the hour, we're going to wrap up the show on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
I want to thank Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies for sponsoring this program. Over 40 specialists providing care across 6 medical campuses, Fort Collins, Loveland, Greeley, Longmont, Lafayette, and Westminster. That's Orthopedic and Spine Center, man. They're specialists in the medicine of motion. They truly have you covered from head to toe and are ready to get you moving like you used to. Again, check out their website at orthohealth.com. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Hang around. We're going to have Rockies Rundown at 2 o'clock. To me, that's kind of like, let's vent it out. let's see what Tanner has to say. Let's see what Jerry Schimmel what they're talking about with this thing. It does feel a lot more like, hey, let's vent it out, air it out. Yesterday was terrible, and I'm not sure where we go from here with the Rockies. That's what's tough when the season's done for a team like the Rockies. You still got another month of this. You still got to go another month of whatever this is. That's a rough prospect, man. We'll have Rams Weekly coming up at 5 o'clock. I'll be joining Kevin Lytle and Chris Abshire, both from the Fort Collins, Coloradoan. We won't have any games to preview this weekend, but, man, we're just going to set the stage. We do have some Mountain West games to talk about as well, so that show's going to be a lot of fun. I look forward to it. But, there we go. All right, what's on the tube tonight? Rockies and Mets. Play at 5:10. What else are we into? What else is going on? Rerun of Game of Thrones or something happening, Angel? Something fun to watch. What's going on Thursday night?
Not a lot, really. I think tonight I might just be tuning in to Clark Johnson, Colorado High School
football. That's right. That's what we started off with. They're going to be playing in Timnath, too. That's kind of a cool deal. Our high school football coverage is second to none. I'm very excited to see how this one wraps up. You know, and again, you got Big Friday Night, too. Big Friday Night football Friday, all that stuff. I mean, it's... when it's football season here, we do it right.
And it's here.
Oh, yeah. We have so many high school football games on the slate this year. Loveland taking on Fossil Ridge. Coverage begins at 6:30, and then the game time is actually at 7. So we're looking forward to that. Can't wait, man. It's here. Football season is upon us. We have real college football games going on this weekend as well. Real high school football games going on starting tonight. So the wait, at least on that front, is over, and now we know we have a pretty meaningful situation going on at quarterback for the Broncos with this quarterback battle at number 2 between Brett Rypien and Josh Johnson. We'll be back at it on a Friday. Rockies Rundown's coming up next. Good night, Northern Colorado.